This is episode 171 with Dan Butler. Hey there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. My mission in life is to help school administrators fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show, I talk with Dan Butler, and we explore a number of interesting topics like using empowerment and delegation to maximize productivity, what makes it onto Dan's to-do list, and the best resource Dan has seen in this past year addressing how to build a great culture. Today's podcast upgrade is Conversation Starters with Staff. So in the podcast, you're going to hear some questions that Dan asks his staff during his 30-minute meetings. You'll learn more in the show. But this is a practice I had as well, at least at the beginning of the school year, meeting with every staff member. And we had 15, maybe it was 30 minutes. So what I did is in the Conversation Starters with Staff upgrade, just listed a whole bunch of questions that could, just as the download says, start conversations with your staff. So download that, betterleadersbetterschools.com/171. -Dan-Butler, or click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, let's take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hi, I'm Chris Nessie from the House of EdTech podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. And make sure to check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And now, the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hey there, Better Leaders. I am excited to share and create this podcast with Dan Butler. And we met at What Great Educators Do Differently in Kansas City. So that's an awesome conference you should check out. That's put on by Jimmy Casas, Jeff Soule, Todd Whitaker. And then we talked briefly too at the Philadelphia's Principals Conference. I didn't see you in Chicago, Dan, so we'll have to talk about that. Or at least I don't remember. Maybe I forgot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I missed that one this summer. Okay. So.
Okay, good. I'm glad I didn't forget. That'd be terrible. But let me read the bio and then we'll get into the episode. So Dan Butler serves as a principal of Epworth Elementary School in the Western Dubuque Community School District. He focuses on positive relationships with all members of the learning community, high impact instructional techniques, building leadership capacity in others, and establishing successful school cultures. Dan has received a number of awards and was most recently recognized as a University of Northern Iowa Educational Leadership Legacy Award winner and the 2017 BizTimes.biz Rising Star in the Dubuque area. He serves as the co-moderator of Iowa Educational Chat, and that's hashtag IAEdChat, a weekly Twitter forum held on Sunday evenings at 8 o'clock Central, focused on the latest trends in education. Dan's published various articles to Principal Magazine focused on digital leadership, literacy, and productivity. When not at school, Dan enjoys spending time with his family and friends, reading, watching, and participating in various sports, and attending a variety of events with the Western Dubuque School District. Dan and his wife, Jonah, reside in Epworth with their two sons, Mason and Nolan. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here today.
Absolutely. And listeners, just so you know, too, there's a little bit of a longer bio available for you on the blog post. So, you know, I want to dig into something that you said actually in the bio in terms of writing on digital leadership, literacy, and productivity. I'm a productivity nut, you know, and I love just digging into that type of stuff, learning more and teaching others about productivity. But let's just, can we start there? And can you share some tips and strategies that work for you?
Absolutely. So before I was principal of just Epworth Elementary School, and I say just, this will be my third year of serving just as the principal of Epworth Elementary School. Prior to that, I was a principal of Farley Elementary School and Epworth Elementary School simultaneously at the same time. So I had two buildings that I was in charge of, over 500 students, two campuses. So it wasn't the number of students that was difficult or the number of staff members to manage and lead. It was more along the line of two separate facilities. So when there's one leaky roof, there's another leaky roof in the other building, or, you know, one building could be going along quite nicely where the other one's on fire type of a deal. So in that, as a consequence of leading those two schools for 2 years at the same time, I had to develop a number of productivity strategies. And I've actually written some articles about that for NAESP. And really, I think the biggest thing is empowering others, really, and figuring out how to give up some control and give people being able to delegate responsibilities. My school counselor and I at the time shared responsibilities between these two buildings, and we just developed a system of what she was going to do and what I was going to do and how we were going to collaborate and also meet in the middle. But I think one of the biggest pieces of advice that I have related to productivity is just be very clear with your rules and what you're expecting of yourself. Whether that's email communication and then just communication with your people in general.
That's awesome. And I think that leaders need to hear that more often, right? In terms of empowering others and delegating. What are some examples of activities that you might delegate to those around you?
So in those type of situations, when I was in charge of the two buildings, one thing was like student discipline or correcting students, giving them support when they would need that. And if I happened to be at Epworth Elementary School and there was a situation going on at Farley Elementary School where some assistance was needed, through conversation, through work, and just through modeling, I worked with my school counselor and she would take care of that. Now, there were some situations that really needed to be addressed by me, and therefore I would drop everything that I needed to do and get over to that building. These buildings were about 5 miles apart, but you know, just giving her the control and the confidence to be able to handle those types of things, that would be one example of just giving up that empowerment. And then also working with our leadership teams, and my instructional coach is a more recent example now. Of we're running collaborative meetings or PLC meetings every week on Thursdays with our various teams in the elementary school. He runs it. He takes care of it. And I'm coming up and I'm showing up to these meetings when I'm needed. But there's probably, I would say, 30% of the time I'm not needed at these. He's working through with our teachers. And it's through that constant conversation with Greg, my instructional coach, as to what we're looking for, how it relates to mission, our vision, and I have 100% confidence in him to do that. So that is a huge load off of my plate of being involved when I need to be. But really, being involved in those collaborative PLC types of conversations is probably only 70% of the time. And that's another 30% of the time that I'm doing other things to maximize what we have going on in the building. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of where I'm coming from that.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you taking time to explain that a bit. I'm also curious, when you divided things up and delegated to different team members, was there some type, well, what was the system? I don't know if it was formal that you learned it somewhere and said, okay, I'm going to execute it here, managing these two facilities, or, you know, if it just sort of evolved as you started to delegate.
I would say it evolved. We had to start somewhere, and we laid out a plan of I'm going to start Monday morning, for example, in Farley Elementary. That means my school counselor is going to be at Epworth Elementary. At lunchtime, we're going to flip. I will finish my day at Epworth. She will finish the day at Farley. And then we did that Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and kind of repeated that cycle, alternating where we started and where we ended the days. And then Wednesdays, we kept wide open to collaborate, get together, make sure, keep our heads above water, make sure that we're on the same page and so forth. But then that process kind of evolved, but that's where we needed to start.
Dan, what would you consider your perfect day at work?
I would say a perfect day at work is where I can interact positively with kids, seeing them do work that they are passionate about, seeing them work through different activities and different group things, and having the ability to see that, having the ability to see our teachers in action, working with kids, having the opportunity to talk with teachers about excellent instruction, and really the ability to talk with teachers about what's happening in their personal lives as well, with how things are going at home, how they're feeling, are they engaged at work? But having those interactions with kids and adults within our building is great. And feeling a sense of accomplishment, I would say, you know, getting those things checked off that list and making, at the end of the day, feeling like I made a difference, whether that was with a student, whether that was with a teacher, whether that was with a paraprofessional, a custodian, whomever, that I impacted their day or their life just a little bit in a positive way, that would be a great day for me.
To feel that sense of accomplishment, Dan, is that something then you review sort of at the end of the day and you say, wow, look at all these great things that occurred? Is it something that you reflect, the question you ask, what am I most proud of for contributing? What does that look like?
I'm a list guy, and I really, if I'm putting something on a list, I really try to make sure that it's not necessarily busy work, but impactful things that's overall going to impact the improvement of our school and so forth, trying to get those high leverage things on the list. And if I'm able to get a couple of those things crossed off on my list, I know that they're important. And therefore, if they're done, that's having an impact within our building, within our school district. So I really try to, the things that I'm writing down and like I must do this day, those are the things that if I'm getting those things accomplished, I'm feeling really good. And I would say it's a skill of just continuing to refine is what's priority, you know, what's urgent but not important. Or, you know, you're looking for those things that are important and urgent to get done.
Gotcha. And, you know, I guess there's two ways to approach this, but, you know, what are some examples of those things that make it on the list? Or if you have today's list around and you want to share it with the listeners, either way, I think that'll give them some concrete things.
Absolutely. So one thing that I do is each quarter, so a fourth of the year, I meet with every staff member individually for 30 minutes. And I serve 50 people on our team at school. And I sit down with them and I have a conversation with them. And this is about 5 questions. And this is simply related. This conversation is related to their level of engagement at work. So an example of a conversation that I would have with a staff member would be, you know, what do you love about your job at Epworth Elementary? Or if you could change one thing about your job at Epworth Elementary, what would that be? What excites you and gets you up in the morning and gets excited for work? So if I have those scheduled, those conversations, so, you know, doing a quarterly conversation with 50 people, I'm probably doing, I don't know, on average about 6 of these a week. That's a top priority. All right. So that for sure is going to get on my list of things to do. And I'm not going to deviate from that time that I've got that scheduled with my people, because that is a high priority thing. Now, what might not be such a high priority is the 20 emails that are in my inbox that definitely can wait. And that gets me down another path that I kind of want to talk about with email, if I can go there right now.
We can, absolutely.
Sure. So I'll talk a little bit about my strategy or protocol for communication that I have with my staff that ultimately impacts my productivity. So I recently, within the last 3 years, I removed email from my phone. I do not have access to email on my phone. Yep. So what I do is I establish what I call a communication protocol with our people. So if you need a response from me within 24 hours, send me an email. I will get back to you for sure within 24 hours. Then if you need to get a hold of me within an hour, you need a response within an hour, send me a text message, or if you're a Voxer user, give me a Vox and I will get back to you within an hour. If you need my attention right now, give me a call on my cell phone and we will handle what we need to handle. So I'm really trying to, by doing this, I'm trying to model some type of balance or life fit, if you will. So when I'm going home in the evening, whatever time I get home, I do not have access to email on my phone, because as you know, it can consume you if you let it. And our staff has really embraced this and they've really respected it. And don't get me wrong, there are times when staff members are working in the evening and they need a response to an email. That's fine. They simply send me a text, give me a Vox, or give me a call, say, hey, I have this email that I need to send to a disgruntled parent. Can you look over it for me before I push it off? Absolutely. Right. No problem at all. But that in turn that little protocol and staying disciplined to that has allowed me to be maybe more productive toward those higher leverage types of things, or those things that I feel are making a difference, whether that's those individual conversations, whether that's those classroom visits that I'm going to make myself visible and being part of the learning taking place in our school.
Wow. I really appreciate you sharing the protocol for email and, you know, how we dug into what makes it on the to-do list. The funny thing I was thinking as you're telling the stories too is, man, am I off script right now? And just this sort of like side note, I guess, that when you're a guest on the show, I send you the questions, right? And that's a guide for our conversation. But things pique my interest and I want to dig into them. And I really, really like, you know, what you shared, especially what makes it on the to-do list and how you meet with your teachers. Now, please correct me if I'm wrong. What I wrote down was, did you say each quarter?
Yeah.
So every 3 months, 50 staff, right? And then did you say also 30 minutes?
Yeah.
So, wow. So, I mean, that's an incredible investment of time, but
sure.
You know, I would love to track and see and, you know, do focus groups, talk to the staff. Like, what's the ROI? What's the impact of that type of intentionality with your staff? And you're talking about performance a bit, but you're also talking to just really important on a human to human level, right? Just connecting, hearing about family, what has them fired up, you know, and those kind of things too.
Yeah. The sole purpose behind that is to ensure that people are working in a place where they are feeling engaged. They are feeling that they're making a difference and that their strengths are being utilized. All right. So within these conversations, you know, you are very much, I'm very much playing with fire when I say to 50 different people that I ask the question, if you could change one thing at Epworth Elementary School, what would that be? Because you realize I'm going to get 50 different answers and I can't snap my fingers and make things amazing for that person right now. But the thing about it is they were heard. And it's noted, and I'm taking notes, and I'm looking at this, and I'm looking for themes, and I'm looking for trends. And, you know, from these conversations, there's some procedural things that we changed that just made a whole lot of sense as far as a recess supervision standpoint, from a cafeteria supervision standpoint, that I wouldn't even have thought of. And this comes up in a conversation. This is positive change for our school. And it's been a good thing, but like I said, the whole purpose behind that is our people in a position where they can utilize their strengths each day and do their best work. And the investment is, I don't have data to support this or evidence to support this other than just my perceptions, but you know, whatever time we put into this, we're getting paid big time on the back end of that just because we're putting out some of those small fires and people are feeling like what they say matters and what they do matters. And that's really important to me.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm so glad that we got this for the listeners. I highly recommend that they go back and re-listen to the last, you know, 5-7 minutes that we were talking about this stuff. Because relationships, it's a game changer. And people, they often overlook it because it's like the soft skills stuff or whatever. But when people, like you said, they feel heard, you know, it's not that you could address absolutely everything. But that my leader knows a little bit and cares about me, that he wants to, you know, utilize my strengths and put me in a position of success. Yeah, the impact that you have doing that is just so profound. Dan, I know in the pre-chat you wanted to talk a bit about the Iowa Ed Chat. Just, yeah, tell us a story of how you got involved there and maybe some of the importance of being a connected leader.
Sure. So about 2000, I don't know, 13 maybe, I started getting pretty interested in Twitter and I live in the state of Iowa. So saw this hashtag IAEdChat that was happening on Sunday evenings at 8 o'clock. And I started getting involved in that just as a participant and got connected with Jimmy Casas, got connected with Matt Degner and got connected with Aaron Becker. The three of those men were running the chat at the time, and I was just becoming a regular participant. Well, but 2014 rolls around, and Jimmy approached me about expanding the chat. So not only offering at 8 o'clock on Sunday evenings, but also expanding it to a morning chat, and asked if I would help to moderate that. Well, absolutely, I did that. And for a while, we were doing this on Sunday mornings and on Sunday evenings. We've gone back just to going to Sunday evenings. Well, Jimmy's kind of handed over the reins to me for Iowa Ed Chat. And now I facilitate this with Andrea Townsley and Nick Duffy, Nick is a principal in an elementary principal in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And then Andrea is an area education employee, agency employee, and she works as like a school improvement consultant, and two great people. But we facilitate a conversation every Sunday evening on Twitter at 8 p.m. And then we also do a live show where we welcome on once a month, we welcome on various guests in a YouTube live type of format that ultimately turns into a podcast. You know, we've welcomed people on such as Jimmy Casas, Jeff Zoll, Peter DeWitt, Jim Sporleader as of late, Jim Knight, Todd Whitaker, Joe Sanfilippo, Tony Sinanis. Just people, different leaders in the field that we're welcoming on and have a conversation with them through YouTube Live, and then we put that in a podcast. Another thing that we do that's unique to other Twitter chats is we recap our Twitter chat each Sunday evening with a podcast. So we do about a 5 to 10 minute podcast, just recapping some of the highlights from the Twitter chat. But it's been an enjoyable thing, and we're really just trying to push out great practices and engage in some dialogue about what's working in education.
I really like that. That's creative too, in terms of putting those things out on podcasts or YouTube Live, turning that into a podcast too. You know, just trying to expand and utilize all the technology and social channels that are available to us, ultimately to get the name, you know, out there, to engage more people, and to impact education in a big way.
The hope with our podcast, the mini podcast where we're recapping the show, would be that someone who has a 5 to 10 minute commute to work can, and they were unable to participate because they were putting their kids to bed or whatever in the chat, that they could throw that on in their car on their way to work and get a gist of what went down in the discussion, and refer them back to the archive, because we archive everything as well, and hopefully they can get some learning from that. So that's the point, and trying to use some innovative and cool tools to get it out there.
And what's the podcast name again for listeners, so if they want to check that out?
Yep, they can find us on Apple Podcasts. It's just hashtag IAEdChat, and we're on Spotify, and we're also on Podomatic.
All right, and that'll be linked up for you listeners. So if you want to check it out, Dan's work there, you could absolutely do that. All right, so we've talked a lot, Dan, about your successes, you know, but let's talk about your worst single leadership mistake, and what did you learn from that experience?
Wow, that's a tough one, because there's been so many, and I would say a theme of some of the biggest mistakes that I've made is intentionally or unintentionally not including everybody within the group, whether that's on a communication trail, whether that's on organizing a collaborative group or a social event or whatever that happens to be. And I've never tried to be intentional about excluding someone, but I think one of the worst feelings is not including someone or a group of people in that email communication, in that collaborative conversation that needs to happen, that social event that's going on or whatever that would happen to be. But I've done that a number of times in my years as a principal, and it just feels awful. And I've been on the other side of that too, where I haven't been included in different things. So one thing that I do is really trying to be mindful when different things are getting organized, who does need to be included into this conversation, this activity, or whatever that happens to be, because man, you can go down a pretty dark path when people are feeling excluded and they're not feeling part of it. It feels the sense of like what I do doesn't matter or what I say doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's almost the antithesis of what you do in terms of meeting with your staff for those 30 minutes and the intentionality of the communication there. It sounds like the opposite of that.
Yeah, definitely. So that would be a theme of where I've gone wrong. And I would say another theme, just because we don't have time on this podcast to list the number of mistakes that I've had, so I'll stick with themes. Another theme of mistake that I truly try to avoid is making assumptions in any circumstance, and really having in my mind to ask, don't assume. And even if that gets to the point of redundancy, to ask and not assume, because I've made some assumptions that have been inaccurate, and I don't know if there's anything worse than that. So I'm really keeping that in the front of my mind. If I'm wondering about something, don't assume, ask. And always, always, always assume positive intent and assume the best.
Yeah, you got to do that. Absolutely. Well, let's pause here for a second, Dan, for a message from our sponsors. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. All right, and we're back with Dan Butler. And man, I've really enjoyed this interview so far. And again, I was just absolutely thrilled when we dug into those 30-minute convos that you have with the staff. That's been my biggest takeaway, but there's so much more other gold so far. So I hope the listeners are enjoying it as well. Derek Sivers has a quote that's one of my favorites. What is ordinary to you is extraordinary to me. What do you consider your superpower?
I think what's ordinary to me, we talked about these conversations and about how I go about my day, and that has become pretty ordinary to me. That's what I do. And, you know, but when I talk about that to you or to others and I share about that, people are just, they're kind of amazed by that. So I think the things that I attempt to do to lead and to serve our people have just become wired into my everyday activity, whether that's covering somebody's responsibilities for an hour. And this would be maybe another thing that would seem extraordinary to others, but ordinary to me. So at the holiday time every year, I've always struggled what I would get my staff members for a gift of 50 staff without breaking the bank. And but it's also something that's meaningful. So what I arrived to was I write a note, a handwritten note to all of our staff members and just, you know, I appreciate your work. Thank you for what you do and something specific that they've done. But then also accompanied with that is I give them the gift of time. So I give them an hour to do as they choose. And during that hour time, they can come in late. If they are to report to work at 8 o'clock, they can come in at 9 o'clock. If they are to leave at 3 o'clock, they can leave at 2 o'clock. Or they can take an extended lunch or whatever that happens to be. They have an hour to do what they choose. They need to communicate that with me 3 days in advance. And then what I do is I will cover that responsibility for them. And it's been a tremendous thing, for one, to give them that hour to do their thing, but then also for me to see life from their perspective for an hour. So I've served lunch. I have worked as a paraprofessional. I've worked as a custodian. I've obviously taught in various classrooms within our school. I've served as the building secretary, answering the phones. And I'm telling you, it leads me to appreciate what our staff members can do. They are absolute superstars. And that's been a great practice. That's ordinary to me. I've wired that into kind of my yearly routine. But when I talk about that, people kind of, wow, how do you do that or whatever. So that would be something that I'm just striving to do. I don't know if that's a superpower, but it's something that has been impactful. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it seems ordinary to you, a small thing, that type of deal. But all these practices that you're sharing in regards to your staff, I think they're profound in the way that it just humanizes everybody and just makes them feel important, you know, and that what they contribute is meaningful, you know, within the organization. And so by giving them time, if that's your time through the conversation or giving them back time when you're helping out around the school, those are tremendous gifts. Just curious, when you're doing one of those 1 hour gifts for your staff members, is there a favorite activity that you like to lead?
I would say serving lunch and breakfast in the cafeteria has been the best, just because of the reaction of the kids, seeing the principal in an apron serving up food. But I would also say that is some of the toughest work, as far as I had no idea how efficient those ladies are in the kitchen. It is to the minute. And both years that I've done this, I screwed up trying to get lunch counts in on time and that kind of thing. I just get destroyed.
That's too funny. You know, I had the pleasure and privilege to serve on Nacho Day. I asked our cafeteria manager, Lori, listen, what's the busiest day that we serve lunch? And she said, Nacho Day, Danny. All right. So I said, sign me up. I'm going to be here. When's the next Nacho Day? And so I arrive. And promptly, Lori, you know, has me wash my hands and put on a hairnet and all this type of stuff. And she puts me, Dan, she puts me on the vegetables, green beans and carrots. And I say, Lori, do do they take this when it's nacho day, right? This is the most popular day in the cafeteria. Here I am on the vegetables. She says, oh no, Danny, like nobody takes the vegetables. Lori, put me on the nachos. And I threw down, man. I'll tell you what, Dan, I can serve out those nachos like no other, but I had a lot of practice. I've worked in many restaurants to supplement my teacher income for many years. So I was ready for the rush.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, just two more questions to wrap up before we go. What message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just a day?
So if we're like, what message we're trying to send to our people?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think if I had a bumper sticker branding, you know, with this message is we care about your kid. And I think that's a big deal. And that's what it all comes down to. Obviously, we're going to be teaching academics, and I will never undersell the importance of academic content. I will never undersell the importance of social emotional learning as well, and just preparedness for life. But I think the bottom line, what it comes down to, what parents want to know and want to feel good about is whether their kid's 3 years old and just starting a three-year-old preschool program, or they're in senior in high school, just about ready to go to college, is that the teachers, the staff, the administration, everyone cares about their child and is going to do whatever they can to make sure that they're successful. And success looks different to every single kid.
You know, I said two more questions. I lied. Now there's two more. I really wanted to ask about a resource, but just give one in the effort, you know, of time. So what's one book, video tool, or other resource that's really impacted you over the last year?
So I'm big into school culture and getting just positive work environments and so forth. So a book that I've read within the last year that I would recommend to anyone interested in leadership at all is The Culture Code by Daniel Coyle. Just a fantastic book driven by a lot of research about what works for positive school culture. And I think positive school culture in general is just kind of this like elusive thing, and like people can't really define what it is. You know it when you feel it and that kind of thing. I would say that Daniel Coyle does a wonderful job of defining it and giving tips and tricks to shape positive school culture.
That's pretty wild, because we're actually reading The Culture Code in the mastermind. We're going to be reading it January through February. I have it scheduled there. So wonderful to hear that, you know, you're recommending that. And listeners too, if you've never thought about the mastermind, my leadership community designed to help you combat isolation and frustration in order to gain clarity and find solutions to your greatest challenges. You can learn more at betterleadersbetterschools.com/MM. All right, Dan, you made it. You were an incredible guest. You offered so much value. We have to get you with this last question. Can't wait to hear how you're going to answer it. But you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, Dan? And what would be your top three priorities?
Well, first off, that's kind of an overwhelming question. And I've given this some thought, but I'm still a little bit overwhelmed in answering it because it's just so big. But the first thing would be access to appropriate technology. And I know there are so many one-to-one initiatives, and whether that's iPads or laptops or Chromebooks or all these different things. But I think the key to that answer is appropriate. So to me, kindergartners and first graders, it's not necessarily appropriate that they're having a device in their hand all the time, because there's concrete building skills that need to take place before we do get to those types of tools. That's just a personal philosophy with me. But if I'm shaping and building that school, I want to have access to whatever that technology would be, whether that's some broadcasting video technology, whether that's some clear-cut great audio that we can drop some really awesome videos, or we can drop some really awesome podcasts, or we can broadcast out to the masses. All of that, I would love just to have whatever access I would want to top quality stuff, so our image would look sharp. And of course, digital tools for students to use, mm-hmm. and having that access. The second part would be to have just such a flexible environment from a seating standpoint, from a classroom arrangement standpoint to fit the needs of the learners. If that meant beanbags, if that meant rolling chairs, if that meant kind of bar stools with tabletop type of seating, that's what we would want. And of course, we have some of those things in place, but not to the level that we would want and not specific to each learner. So I'm kind of getting to a theme here of different things that I would have in this school would be tailored right to our learners and to our teachers of what would work best for them. So a wide variety of learner-friendly, brain-friendly environment type of things, whether that's seating or tables and that type of thing. And then the other school, the other component of that perfect school would simply be what I have now, a staff that cares about every single kid that enters that door, that greets them, that knows about their interests, their strengths, their preferences, their learning styles, everything, and knows their families and connects with them on a deep level. I have that now. The other part to make our school perfect would be access to more of those resources, whether that's technology or that's learner-friendly environment types of things.
Dan, thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Any parting words of advice and the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, it was my pleasure. It was my pleasure talking on this. I really I appreciate the opportunity to come on this great podcast. And if you want to connect with me more, you can find me at danpbutler.com. All my email, all my social media contacts, all that stuff is there. But danpbutler.com will get you where you need to go.
Better Leaders, thanks for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember, life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Danny and Dan. Head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Dan in the search bar. Actually, you probably should type in Butler because I'll be all over my own website. So do that. Type Butler in the search bar. Show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Dan, thanks so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you so much.
All right, better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof. It encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. And make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.